This is AF Cast, the video game podcast. And here's your host, Malcolm Shever.
I know I've been out for a while. I've been busy and needed to get some things in order, but I am coming back with about a month's worth of content along with my friends, as you can see here. And we are essentially going to be bad-mouthing multiple games and talking about what they could have done better. So this week on AFCast, we will be talking about Warzone and how it is ruining the Call of Duty series. Alright, so first of all, I am going to be discussing basic information about Warzone. You guys can join in whenever you guys want to. I'm not sure you want to join in on basic information, but Warzone started while Modern Warfare was the primary Call of Duty. So basically, we're just a little bit past the one-year anniversary for Warzone, because I believe it started in May last year. Either March or May. I feel like it was one of the M months.
Fact check that for you? Or do you not
care? What?
Do you want me to fact check that for you, or do you not care?
You can fact check if you want. And then it is a Battle Royale game mode, which I think a lot of people know. It was Call of Duty's way of trying to get into the Battle Royale scene after Blackout was a somewhat of a failure. It basically combines Modern Warfare and Black Ops Cold War. About 1 or 2 months after Cold War came out, they introduced all the weapons and operators and stuff that are in that game, and they have very similar loadout systems to account for that. They have events and a light story happening in the background where every single season it gets added to it. I think there's even things that you can find around the map that adds to the story.
Yeah, you can.
But yeah, it's nothing too heavy. It's nothing. It's nothing big. It's kind of like a worse version of how Apex Legends does it.
They recently had story wise. They recently had Verdansk, which was like the map that they had. By the way, it did come out in March.
March 20th.
I think so. Wait. March 10th, 2020.
March 10th, okay.
Yeah. And, they had Verdansk, which is, like, the map that you've always played on since day one.
Yeah.
They had it nuked.
Yeah. They had it nuked, because the zombies attacking.
They had an entire, like, thing leading up to it. For 2 days before they actually nuked it, you can actually walk around and you can see missiles flying over you.
Oh really? That's actually pretty cool.
Yeah, like ballistic missiles, I think. But you don't hear them impact with anything. They just fly over you.
It's interesting. I say because now after it's been nuked, didn't we also like travel back in time after it got nuked or whatever?
I don't.
Yeah, there was like Verdansk 85 or whatever.
Yeah, because they were trying to match 84. It with Cold War.
Cold War.
Yeah.
And then now there's satellites that are crashing down and. We're going to get into the story a bit later because they are essentially combining the Modern Warfare story and the Black Ops story, which the Black Ops story already is a part of the zombies story. So everything gets fucked up when we start talking about the story later on. So we'll get into that a bit later.
Can you imagine Captain Price talking with Woods?
Let's just put the brakes on real quick.
Stay somewhat on topic.
Yeah. So first of all, we are going to be talking about Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War, because this is it's not the first game that Warzone has affected, because obviously we have Modern Warfare, but it's definitely a heavily affected game. Because Call of Duty, or Treyarch, was already pushed ahead of schedule by one entire year due to some complications with Sledgehammer. I don't know if they left. I don't know if they were kicked out. I don't know if they said they had to postpone their game. I don't remember the reason, and I tried looking it up, and it was like, people were all over the place as to why Sledgehammer was leaving. Because I think they took partnership up with some other company. But usually, Call of Duty games have a 3-year development cycle, which is already pretty short for a game, which is why they're usually unoptimized and don't have, like, the most amazing stories. But Black Ops Cold War only got 2 years to actually be produced, and I think it was a little sudden for them to know that they're only going to get 2 years. And the game release was pretty mediocre, and Warzone was still the center of attention. Like, I think after Cold War came out, about, like, probably, like, a week after Cold War came out, I think Warzone was back to front and center for Call of Duty. And so that's actually pretty impressive, because I don't think anything has lasted for Call of Duty for over a year where people are still playing it this much. So that is pretty impressive. But due to Warzone being the center of attention, Activision has been essentially pulling resources from Cold War to work on Warzone, making the content in Cold War pretty lacking. We do get a lot of content updates, but I don't really know how to describe it, because we get like new weapons, we get new operators and stuff, and then there's obviously the story and whatnot. But it's just kind of like, you just don't really want to,
like,
pick
whatever
up the game.
Like, it's, yeah, like it's just, oh, whoop-de-doo, new weapon, I'm just gonna go play it. See ya.
I would say multiplayer hasn't been all too bad. Multiplayer has been getting a lot of content, but the content is fairly lackluster, because there have been glitches since day one. There are bugs, glitches, etc. And unbalanced weapons, which isn't uncommon for Call of Duty, but it's worse this year.
They kind of optimized the guns for Warzone when they first came
exactly.
out. When they first came out. And what I've seen, a lot of the weapons that they've optimized for Warzone were really overpowered. Like, I saw something where, like, the Mach 10, when it first came out, with, like, 4 rounds, could break your armor. And it's just,
yeah,
like, that's insane.
The Mach 10, when it first came out, was broken in Warzone. And that's a pretty repetitive behavior for Warzone, where there is one or two weapons that will absolutely destroy people. So everyone is running a meta, essentially, because if you don't run the meta, then you lose.
You're screwed.
Yeah. And that somewhat transfers over to the actual Call of Duty games as well, because, like Michael said, they're optimized for Warzone. They're not optimized for Cold War. And this somewhat doesn't matter, because there's stuff like 6v6 TDM where it's just like, it's already insane as it is, and Call of Duty has always had bad hit registration and whatnot, and it's always been chaos when you play. But it's also a lot harder to tell kind of what's going on with Cold War, because a lot of people that are on the pro scene are not playing Cold War. They're playing Warzone, which makes it a lot harder for Treyarch to understand, like, how they can make the game better for both the casual players and for the pro players at the same time. And so it's kind of descended into chaos.
There was a problem when the game first came out with audio, where, like, there were times when you just straight up would not hear people at all.
Yep, I remember that.
And
it's happened to
one
me.
Of the... I haven't played Warzone very much. I played, like, one or two games, and that's it. But I do remember having that issue in those two games that I played. And
yeah,
it's one of those things where it's like, they're like right next to you and nothing.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just as worse, if just as bad, if not worse, than Rainbow Six's old audio, if you remember that.
Man, there's a lot. Rainbow Six had a lot of old audio.
Which update are we talking here?
Yeah, exactly. You had a lot of different.
This is more for the Rainbow Six one, but the audio's gotten better. not very much better, but better.
Yeah. I'd say, in a little bit here, I will show content releases per season, because there are some updates that are good, but most of the updates just give you so much for Warzone, and then give you either equal or less stuff for Cold War, which doesn't make sense. It makes sense marketing-wise, but that also sucks for people who don't like Warzone, which is anyone who understands that Warzone hasn't been balanced for forever now. And it's just, it's kind of frustrating, because multiplayer's gotten so bad that I've pretty much sworn it off, and I've only been playing zombies as of lately, so I've not played season 4 multiplayer, so maybe they optimized it or something. I don't know, I've not read the patch notes for
at some point this season I would like to hop into multiplayer, not Warzone, yeah. But multiplayer.
not Warzone.
Whereas I'm not downloading like a 200 gigabyte game, because I think the most recent update for it added like 100 gigabytes to it.
Oh, we're definitely gonna be talking about size later. That yeah. Doesn't sound right, but shut up, Bryce.
We're both thinking it. Don't worry.
I'm gonna turn you up a little bit, Bryce. There we go.
All right.
Bryce hasn't really been saying much.
You're right, I haven't.
This is true.
You're observational.
I'd say the thing that sucks about comparing this Call of Duty to older Call of Duties is that the typical Call of Duty game sucks anyway. Like, Call of Duty is, like, mainly supposed to be a, I don't know how to describe it. Get in, get out type game. Like, you play it to play it. You don't play it to necessarily, like, I don't know.
Like, you don't play it to, like, grind and, like, you know, try to do pro league stuff. You just play it to play it and...
Yeah, it's kind of there. Like, it's there for people to just screw around in and to play in. And it's fast-paced, bad hit registration, bugs and glitches, which are frustrating, but people just move past it because that's just the reputation that Call of Duty has built up over the years because of their three-year cycle.
I definitely do think that the newer Call of Duty games are lacking, because if you talk to a bunch of, like, people our age, and you ask them what their most fond memory is from Call of Duty, they're more than likely going to say one of the older games, because the older games were really good, like Black Ops 2, Black Ops 1, Modern Warfare 2, Modern Warfare.
It's because the older games had a lot of passion. Activision let a lot of people what they wanted to do, which is how we got zombies in World at War. It was a complete passion project that blew up. And then zombies got front and center, and it got really good. And then it started falling off again when Black Ops 4 wanted to do Blackout. So they put resources into Blackout, and the zombies wasn't as good. That's also because, I don't remember his name. I think it's Jason something.
Jason Blundell.
That's it. Also left. Didn't he leave after Black Ops 3? After Zombies Chronicles? Yeah.
He did.
Yeah, so everything just fell apart for zombies after that, which we'll, like I said, we'll talk about that next week. But yeah, everything's just been turning on its head, and then they released Warzone. So Warzone became huge. It blew up. I mean, it became the new Battle Royale game. And there was actually a time where it was balanced, surprisingly, for like a month. And then Cold War came out, it continued to be balanced until they did the Cold War integration.
Recently, Warzone has had for the first time in a while, Warzone had an open meta. Mm-hmm. So you had people using stuff that was meta, like, that was meta back in, like, Season 1, or Year 1 when the game first came out.
Yep.
Like, using, like, crap. Can't remember the name of the weapons, but they were using older stuff.
I was saying, it was still kind of compacted though into a set meta. Like it was still a mat.
Open meta, but it wasn't like, oh, you got the brew in, you got like this, you got that, you got this. But it's still
constricted.
Yeah.
But it's a lot less constricted than it used to be.
It's like walking into a room that's like 2 feet by 2 feet and then be like, no, I don't want that, and then go into another room that's 2 feet by like 22 feet. That's
so even like a couple months ago you had the whole Street Sweeper meta where your close range gun was Street Sweeper.
Oh my god.
It was the best gun in the game by far at close range if you didn't use it.
I'm pretty sure it still for a little bit is.
It's still one of the better guns, yes.
But, yeah.
Yeah, that would
be unless they nerf it into the ground, which is very possible, it's gonna stay meta.
Yeah.
I've been seeing people running the PPSH recently too. Like like a lot of the people that I watch have been picking the Krig over like picking the PPSH over the Krig or the Street Sweeper or anything else.
That's the only good reason that you can choose your loadouts in Warzone. Is because then everyone can have the meta. If it was only that you could pick up weapons, which I personally don't like the loadout system in.
So you prefer like Apex Legends more like that kind of system to
Apex Legends, PUBG, where you have to pick everything off of the ground. But the problem with that is that if someone finds a meta weapon, because there are so many weapons in Warzone, if someone finds a meta weapon, then they're going to destroy.
It's an instant dub. Like
so. So you almost have to have the class system in the game where you can get your own class. That way, everyone can have the meta. Because otherwise, if you don't have the meta, then you're not winning the game. Which is insane. So I'm gonna refocus back down to Cold War, specifically. So we have Modern Warfare, which is last year's Call of Duty, or I guess 2 years ago, since we're about to enter the age of Call of Duty Vanguard, but there is a very distinct difference between Modern Warfare and Cold War, because in Modern Warfare is just cleaner in general. It had a better hit registration. You were able to mount weapons and you're able to switch fire modes. They made the new class system, which was one of the only good things that transferred over from Modern Warfare, along with like the field upgrades and whatnot. But the ones where you have to mount weapons and switch fire modes are both great additions to the game, and then they got really positive feedback, but then they just didn't add them to Cold War. And that kind of just dropped people out of playing Cold War, because they didn't have the same clean multiplayer that Modern Warfare did. And even Modern Warfare wasn't a super clean multiplayer, but it was probably one of the cleanest out of any game yet. And so that's multiplayer. So now moving on to zombies. Zombies has been pretty bland. The main thing that is capturing people's interest about zombies is that it is a completely new story. Because Black Ops 4 ended the Aether storyline, and so now we're going into the Dark Aether storyline. And that's pretty much the only thing that is capturing people's interest is how this new story is going to play out. And then, now that the Berlin map is announced, people are really excited for that. Pretty much everything so far has been a pretty big disappointment to either one group or another. We are finally starting to get some content. Like, this is pretty cool that a month ago, we got the first Outbreak Easter egg. And then just about a week ago, we got the second Outbreak Easter egg. And then about 3 weeks, a month from now, we get the Berlin map along with their Easter egg and a new perk, a new field upgrade, and possibly new levels and stuff, which is amazing. Like, we're getting content back to back. This is the first time that this has happened in Cold War. Before, we had to wait like 2 or 3 months for anything to happen in Zombies. when Outbreak first released, it had nothing. It was literally just something to play, something to do. A lot of people liked it. It got a lot of positive feedback, but a lot of people didn't like that there just kind of wasn't anything. Like, there was just, there was no meat. It was all just bones to start. And now we're getting some more stuff. We're getting some more beef for Outbreak. We got two Outbreak Easter eggs, which is really cool that you have two Easter eggs in one game mode for zombies. But also you have like the limited time game modes that are, like I said, they're limited time. Like the other two games, I don't know about Black Ops 1, but I know Black Ops 2 had game modes. Not all of them were received greatly, but people did like some of the game modes. And then Black Ops 4 had game modes. And now this one technically has a game mode, but it's PlayStation only. In November, they released Onslaught, which is a really cool zombies game mode that I'm pretty sure was also received pretty well. But PlayStation gets it for an entire year before Xbox or PC gets it. Which means that I'm not going to get to play it until after Vanguard comes out. Which is insane. Like, that doesn't make any sense. And that isn't necessarily because of Warzone. That's because PlayStation likes to make deals with everyone. And Xbox is starting to step up their game with that as well. But the past few Call of Duties, PlayStation has been getting stuff ahead of time. And that has just kind of sucked, because I don't know if anything has happened for Warzone. I think something has at one point where Warzone had something like a week before Xbox did.
I think it was a set of weapons. I think it was a pistol or something that they had before that Warzone had before either Modern War, no, not Modern Warfare, before English. It was a weapon that only Warzone had on all platforms, but it was only available in Warzone, which is not what we were talking about.
Operator skins. There's a couple gun blueprints where, like, the blueprint for the gun were automatically attachments and all that. And there was a couple other things where that was purely exclusive to PlayStation. It wasn't even like early release, purely exclusive.
Wow. Okay. That's fun. But yeah. Two things about zombies. Limited time game modes are iffy. Something like Cranked, you brought it back twice. Like, why didn't you just keep it in the game? Like, I mean, it's not like, I don't think a lot of people liked it, but it's still something where it's just like, why have it as a limited time mode? And I understand it's probably just that way they can bring back people when it comes out. Like, oh, this mode is back. But if they have Cranked 1, Cranked 2, which I'm pretty sure are the same thing, I don't understand the point. I understand something like Jingle Hells. Jingle Hells makes sense because that was a Christmas event. And so that makes sense because, like I said, it was Christmas.
Was that just like a Christmas version of Shoot House from like Modern Warfare?
It was D Machine. This is Zombies.
Yeah, it was still on D Machine.
I'm stupid. I also wasn't playing at the time. This is the first time I'm hearing about that.
I never played Jingle Hells. I think I stopped playing for a little bit when Jingle Hells was out. But that makes sense to have a limited time mode as, because if you had a permanent Christmas version of a mode, that's a little weird, but it is what it is. But for the second thing, Onslaught is only on PlayStation until November 1st, and Vanguard comes out, like every Call of Duty comes out, like what, late October?
Usually, yeah.
Yeah, because Warzone came out October 20th.
Yeah, so
not Warzone, Modern Warfare.
So that means that, like, for the first couple weeks that Vanguard is out, they're finally going to release Onslaught, and I have no idea what the outcome of that is going to be. I have no idea if a bunch of people are going to return to Cold War Zombies on Xbox and PC, or if they're just going to it's just going to be a complete flop, and it's just going to be out then. I say I'm definitely going to play it because I really want to play Onslaught, but I'm not going to buy Call of Duty for my PlayStation just to play it. So it's just, it's fucking insane. I just don't understand having those separate. But yeah, now that we covered kind of the base stuff for Cold War, just stressing me out now. I'm going to be talking about the Cold War integration with Warzone, which was an absolute shit show, and they're finally getting around to fixing it. Because most of the time that Warzone has been out, it has been unbalanced. I've already said this, I've said this several times, but it is an unbalanced game. And there were always weapons that heavily outperformed any weapon out there and would allow players to dominate the match, essentially. And this has been a repeating meta throughout the game, with one or two weapons being overpowered while other weapons are just mediocre or completely useless. Like, if you try to use that weapon, then you might as well just be shooting a pea shooter at someone. Like, there is no point in even using it. And I don't understand how something can be that unbalanced without them fixing it immediately, because the state of the game has been like that forever. And there was only one or two times in Warzone where everything was actually balanced and there wasn't a super heavy meta. And right now is one of those times, and right before Cold War is another one of those times. And so many people think that when Cold War was integrated with Warzone, which a lot of people were looking forward to and a lot of people were not looking forward to, it was a pretty split community with that. But I'm pretty sure everyone was pissed when it came out, because everything just broke again for Warzone. And so it's just, the integration with the two games just were bad. It was bad. I'm pretty sure they lost a lot of players. I'm pretty sure they also got a lot of players, though, because of the integration. But this also led to Warzone, or Activision, moving Warzone between all the games over and over again. Do you remember that, Bryce?
From Modern Warfare title to, then it was its own separate game, and then it was like, you can access it from Modern Warfare or Cold War, but it's still a separate, it was really weird.
Yeah,
I'm not a fan of that system, how they have it, where it's like, oh, you can access it from both games, but you just have to have I'd rather just leave the game and then go, like...
So if I wanted to play Warzone, I would just start it up. I wouldn't go into Cold War to start up Warzone.
Yeah.
It's probably there for, like, if you get into the mood to play Warzone, you can just go since you're playing Modern Warfare, you just want to go to...
But then I'm just going to go to the home screen anyway. Like, it's just like...
Yeah, like, you're basically just easier if you close the game altogether and then move on.
Yeah. But here, let me show this now. I said I was going to show this earlier. So I am going to be pulling up a couple roadmaps here. So here's the Season 1 release roadmap. Now this, for those who are purely listening, they aren't watching, there is a lot of Warzone content here. It is pretty much split 50-50 between Warzone and Cold War. And... because in Warzone, you had an entirely new map that was released, which is insane. They released the entirety of Rebirth Island into Warzone. Wasn't it like an entire month that people could play it? And there was like an entire battle pass for it and everything?
Yeah.
There was also a game mode too.
Yeah, there was a special game mode for it.
Yeah, expanded arsenal.
It's basically like normal Warzone, but you're on a much smaller map.
Yeah,
where fights is like so like, and no like at one point if one of your teammates is still alive, but all the rest of you are dead, there's a jailbreak, and everyone who was in Gulag comes back from Gulag, and it's just like, why?
It wasn't even just Gulag. If you had a teammate still alive at the end of a timer, no matter what, you could be in Gulag or completely dead. You were just brought back.
That's...
Until we got down to one of the last few circles.
I will say,
it was...
that was one of my favorite Call of Duty experiences, though, when I played Rebirth Island, and Bryce, you and I were playing, you were driving the truck, and I was sitting in the passenger seat of the truck, and you just drove through one of the buildings and killed, like, an entire team.
Yeah.
That was probably one of my favorite Call of Duty things that's ever happened, but... But yeah, and you could say, like, you know, weapons and operators were both for Warzone and for Cold War. But, like, they're unbalanced. Everything was still unbalanced. The MAC-10 was OP. The Street Sweeper was OP. The Groza, I'm pretty sure, was just a mediocre weapon. And operators don't matter. Those are just skins. No one gives a shit. And the only good thing... was that multiplayer got a 2v2 gunfight that returned from Modern Warfare, because people loved that. Everything else is pretty bad. I guess you got Nuketown, but I personally don't like Nuketown as a multiplayer map.
To go back to the skins part, Activision had to actually nerf a... This is weird to say. They had to nerf a skin.
To make it not blend in or something, or was it glitched?
Because there was a skin, and there was an operator who named Rose, who had, whose outfit was basically all black.
That's
funny. And you could not see them in specific places in the Gulag, and if you're in, like, a darker area of the map, in Warzone or Modern Warfare, you would not be able to see them. And for a while, it was known as the Tryhard skin.
Of course.
And they had to... I don't know how they, quote-unquote, nerfed the skin. But... I think they made it brighter. But it's still a major issue from what I've seen.
I say it's like Siege with all of its crazy skins where people, like, literally blend into parts of Villa.
I don't remember what skin it was, but yeah, there's that one in there. This new season, they're having the same issue with the skins from this season in Siege.
There's, this happened a while ago.
I would say anyone from this season skins. Anyone who uses this skin just blends in. It's so bad.
Jeez. Back when Rainbow's Magic was out, in secret on Presidential?
Yeah.
There was if Thermite or any character that had like red as like the little plastic marine thing, they would not be seen in secret. Like, you could be looking directly at them and you could not see them because the light in secret is red and the skin, what they're wearing is red, and then you could not see them at all.
Yeah, that sounds about right. But yeah, so yeah, multiplayer got 2v2 gunfights, which is probably the best thing that came out. You have Nuketown 84, which a lot of people like, and I bet you some people probably like the holiday version.
It's just a Nuketown revamped. That's all it is.
Well, it's just recolored, yeah.
And that was one of the problems with multiplayer.
Recolored, retextured.
Like, Season 1 multiplayer, you got 4 maps.
Yeah.
2 of which were remakes, and 1 of which is for a game mode no one plays.
Yep.
What game mode was that?
Fire team.
Heard of them?
Never heard of it.
It's basically four. It's a squad of four, and you go in. You have to go around these big, like, massive maps
to
collect
uranium.
Then deposit it into the dirty bombs.
Oh, okay. You know, now I remember what that
say,
was. Yeah, okay.
So we all played it at one point. I think we won our first game.
Yeah, we did. We got first place or first
game. Yeah, they released 4 maps. One of them is a map for that game mode that no one plays, and then one of them is
a
sort of Nuketown remake. One of them was a raid remake.
And then the Pine sucks.
Yeah.
And then for Zombies, we got 2 limited time game modes. Mind you, this is 2 months after the release of Cold War, where we still only have D-Machine. That's the only map that we have. The main thing that Cold War has done right is that all the content is free for zombies. It's not like Black Ops 3, where if you wanted to do literally anything other than Shadows of Evil, you had to buy
maps. Black Ops 3 was actually worth it, though.
Hated that.
I say, a lot of the previous CODs were bad with that. So, yeah. So, that was Season 1. So, get Season 1 Reloaded. This one was actually okay. Because there was actually no Warzone... Actually, no, there was Warzone stuff. I missed that the first time I looked at it. There's new playlists. Mini Royale, Armored Royale, Buyback, Rumble. They got all of these playlists. And I'm pretty sure a lot of these playlists and multiplayer modes and stuff are only limited time as well. So it's not even like... I don't know. The Wakizashi sword is actually pretty fun. The Operator... I'm pretty sure it was actually delayed, is why it doesn't say live now. Somehow, I don't know how, but they keep managing to delay stuff ever since Warzone came out. But Zombies actually got, something pretty good, which was, Firebase Z. That was actually a pretty good update. It only took them 3 months to finally come out with something new. Actually no, 4 months, February. I didn't realize it was live now. So it wasn't even out yet. Oh my gosh, this is worse than I thought.
he's having a breakdown.
I am. 4 months for a single Zombies content. I mean, sure, you had Onslaught, that's PlayStation only. You have
Onslaught was on release. So
Onslaught was on release? I thought it came out a month after release.
I'm pretty sure it came out on PlayStation on release.
Jeez. And then you had two limited time game modes. One came out live now, because I'm pretty sure it was also delayed. And we're not live right now, but live when Season 1 Reloaded came out. And it's just like come on. Like, here, let's look at the Season 2 roadmap. Look at all this stuff for Warzone. And then you also had yet another Fireteam map, which no one played. Mansion Gunfight, I've actually never played on it before, so I don't know how that map is. But Apocalypse is pretty fun.
It's pretty much Mansion Gunfight is pretty much a copy-paste straight from the campaign.
Oh, is it
literally
really?
Is like one of the rooms from the campaign, basically.
Oh, I think I do, because that's where you'd like drive in with the APC, right?
I don't remember.
I think I do remember that. But then Warzone got like an entire story change. Like everything just completely changed for Warzone, and they even got two game modes for it. And it's just like, because I guess Zombies got Outbreak, but like I said, Outbreak was really dull when it first came out. It was a really new experience, which is really cool, but there was nothing really to it other than, you know, you just keep going on to the next area, which isn't something that Zombies fans at this point really like. I think the main pull for it when it first came out was that it was something new, which grabs people's interests, but I think after playing it for about a week or so, it just kind of was bland. And yeah, so that's pretty much it. I mean, I guess you got a new score streak and a couple of new multiplayer modes once again, which I'm pretty sure once again were limited time. So
Stockpile is still there, but Gun Game I think was limited time.
Oh, Stockpile is still there?
I believe so.
But yeah, it's just like everything is either equal to or has less content than Warzone does. And at this point, Cold War, especially in the earlier seasons, should have way more content. Season 2 Reloaded, we got Sanatorium on Outbreak. Whoop-dee-doo. We got we got Miami Strike, which is the like worst map in the game.
It's literally just a remake of a map that was already in the game.
Yeah, but smaller.
Yeah, but smaller.
And then Warzone, I'm pretty sure this is actually when the Warzone event happened. Was Season 2 Reloaded? I'm not entirely sure, because this is the time I wasn't really playing Call of Duty. But, yeah, so Season 2 Reloaded was kind of just bland overall, except for, you know, Warzone getting an entire story change. Season 3 Reloaded, this was the new Warzone map, wasn't it? Yeah, new Warzone map update.
And I think they're trying to keep Warzone and Cold War in the same season. So like
they are.
If it's season 3 in Cold War, then it's season 3 in Warzone.
I say the battle pass is the same in Warzone as it is in Cold War. Like they track the same.
Oh yeah, because like for the vehicles, you can see stuff for both.
What modes. You mean Warzone versus Cold War? Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you also had the Warzone event, which is actually pretty cool. I thought the Warzone event was a pretty cool thing for them to do. And then all we got for Outbreak was once again a new region, still no meat, just more bones, and toxic growth, which I guess is cool. I mean, toxic growth isn't really that good of a field upgrade. I do like Yamantau. I do like the map Yamantau. Diesel sucks. And then Duga came out on both Outbreak
Diesel,
and Fire
Diesel. Diesel is more of a Diesel. I forgot the name of the game mode.
2v2.
But like the 2v2. Yeah, it's definitely more that. It's definitely more for gunfight than it is for.
But they released it.
If it's on multiplayer, it's unbearable.
Yeah, I say they released it for 6v6, which is terrible. The main thing that is good is the constant update of weapons, because it's starting to feel like Black Ops 3 again, where you can like have a ton of weapons, which I personally really like that, especially since it's not like Black Ops 3 where you had to rely on crates to get them. You can actually do challenges to unlock them,
which actually a lot of people like the crates better than the battle pass system they do now.
Really?
Yeah, from what I've been seeing, a lot of people like that better than having to, because in season you can't get the gun unless you grind a ton to get that weapon. Or wait until after the season. So a lot of people preferred the loot boxes because then they had a chance to get it earlier on in the season.
That seems kind of stupid.
Earlier on after release.
That seems like a kind of a stupid reason, but hey, that's not me. I say because it's not like Black Ops 4 where you had to get like tier 50 and then tier 100 to get the weapons. It's you have to get to like tier 15 and tier 30.
Yeah.
Which isn't bad at all. Yeah, I like this better because like Black Ops 3, I have like 4 DLC weapons, and I've played that game so much in multiplayer. Like, it's, I don't know, it's kind of crazy to me. And then, I actually have, I don't think I looked at the Season 3 roadmap. Oh, this pulled up it pulled up Chrome for me, what the heck? Essentially, I can already see that Warzone gets, like, an entire update the size of multiplayer on there. And, I think and then Zombies finally came out with something. Zombies finally came out with the first Outbreak Easter egg. And what was the previous one? We had, what was it? I mean, we've gotten maps for Outbreak, but I think the last thing was Season 2 where we actually got Outbreak. Yeah. So, we had to wait 3 months just for Outbreak to actually get some content other than maps, which is just crazy. Because at this point, I think Black Ops 3 already has like 3 new maps, like 3 new like entire story maps. And then for Season 4, we have all the satellite crashes in Warzone, so another big story change. I'd say we have an entirely new Gulag, which is on the new Hijacked map, which, once again, is a remake. I think it's a remake that a lot of people like, because a lot of people like the Hijacked map.
Yeah, Hijacked was very well liked.
There's a reason it came back in BO3 is Skyjacked as well.
Yeah, you had Skyjacked, you had Hijacked Return in BO4, you had Hijacked Return in this game. It's just going to keep returning, honestly.
But then you also have Rush, which returns in multiplayer, which is another map from BO2,
yep.
I believe.
It is BO2.
What?
Except for, I think it's just the paintball area. I don't even think it's the whole area outside.
It's that map, indoor. Okay.
Yeah, I think it's just the indoor paintball area. I don't think it's even, like,
and
the
they're keeping
whole...
just Yeah, just a paintball.
I would say, and then we did get Zoo. Zoo is really cool. I think Zoo is my favorite Outbreak map. And then we also got a new Outbreak quest. But this Outbreak Easter egg is so bad. It is like the worst Easter egg that has ever released in Zombies history. It's just... Yeah, I don't know. It's... I think this update was still pretty bad for zombies and even for multiplayer. For multiplayer, pretty much the only thing that people are gonna really like is Hijacked and maybe Rush. And oh, I thought that was actually a gunfight 2v2. No, it's 6v6. So
no.
Maybe it is the whole map.
Okay, 6v6 would suck in the paintball area.
Yeah, no. I thought it was a 2v2 gunfight in just that indoor paintball area.
Gotcha. I think it'd be cool if they did the 6v6 on the full map and a 2v2 gunfight in just the paintball room.
I do like that map. That map is fun. I actually just played it the other day at Bryce A's graduation party.
Nice.
So, yeah, June, that's...
Man, I wish I was there.
I heard that.
I was saying... and then 4.5 is actually... I think 4.5 might be the first really good release ever since Season 1, because we'll be getting Mauer der Toten, which is the Berlin map. I don't know what multiplayer we'll be getting, but I know we are going to be getting new weapons as well. Like, I'm pretty sure we're getting a mace melee weapon or something like that. I think it says it down there. It just says mace. It doesn't say what it is.
A weapon.
I would think a mace, like the medieval mace.
Yeah, it looks like it, but it looks a little weird.
Probably like a mace from like Black Ops 3 and stuff. Black Ops 4. Black Ops 4 have a mace. Black Ops
3. Pepper spray.
But yeah, pretty much the only thing the multiplayer got. I guess you got the hand cannon score streak, which I haven't used yet. I don't know how good that is. It doesn't sound good, but who knows.
I'm guessing, I don't remember what operator it was, but, like, that one operator in Black Ops 3 and 4.
Oh.
Seraph.
I thought you meant... Yeah, it's, yeah, it was Seraph. I thought you were saying who it came with, which is, Jackal.
Oh, you know, I know who it came with, which is, Jackal.
You got the hand East cannon, African and man. Then you got Hijacked, and I don't even know how good, and Rush, I guess, but I don't even know how good the cannon is. But yeah, so it's just been, really lacking in content. Or it's not necessarily been lacking in content. It's been lacking in quality content over Warzone, which means that people who prefer to play the Call of Duty games for Call of Duty, whether that is for the multiplayer or for zombies, or even custom games. The custom games in Cold War sucks. There's not even mutations in zombies. Which is fine. I don't think that was like a big thing for people, but it was definitely something cool. But custom games is really bad in Cold War, and I don't know. It's just everything's been so Warzone focused that Warzone is getting the updates more than Cold War is, which is insane. I like the idea
of them combining the battle passes, but
it's just... weird.
From a point of view, that's a good marketing move, but it's just overall, besides some good marketing moves, nothing else.
Yeah, exactly. That's all that Activision is, though. Activision is literally just all marketing. They don't care about how the consumers feel about their product. They're just about making sure that they continue to play Call of Duty, and so that's why at this point it's a Call of Duty every single year, because they can make like millions of dollars every single year because they are dropping $60 games on a schedule, so people are just expected. It's like that thing where it's like that thing where if you do something, or if someone does something, you give them a mint, and so then you do that over and over again, and then they do that thing, and you don't have a mint on you, but they just automatically like ask for a mint, or hand, or like have the put their hand out for a mint or something like that.
Come on.
Like Pavlov's experiment with his dog.
Yeah.
Ringing the bell.
Like, it's just, it's expected behavior at this point. And that's Activision's really smart play, and I kind of wish it was their downfall, but it's perfected at this point where it can't be. So, it's just like...
controlled disaster.
Exactly. But anyway, so now we're going to actually talk about the story itself. The story is chaotic, because like I said, Zombies is already somewhat confirmed to be part of the Black Ops storyline. I mean, hell, we even have Weaver this time around, and Weaver was part of, like, the Black Ops 1 campaign, I think.
He was?
Black Ops 1 and 2.
Black Ops 1 and 2.
I need to go back and play both of those games. I have not played Black Ops 1.
I have only played Black Ops 3 and, I guess, watched Black Ops 4 campaign.
Black Ops 4 doesn't even have a campaign.
Obviously. What?
Black Ops 4 doesn't even have a campaign.
That's why I said watched it.
Because there was the small little...
Oh, yeah, the videos, yeah.
They gave you the small little intel video things.
Yeah, it was... The story actually wasn't that bad. It was just that people were pissed off that you had to watch it instead of play a campaign. I will say, Ruin is kind of badass in his personal life, too. But then they introduce Zombies... I mean, first of all, there was the Cold War integration, which I'm pretty sure they confirmed that Cold War and Modern Warfare were part of the same world at that point. But then they took it one step further and made it so that way Zombies attacked Verdansk. And we know it was Black Ops Zombies because of the, when it was showing like the inside of the ship and everything, you had Nova 6 containers, you had, I'm pretty sure there's like actual like text that you could read that was referring to the Zombies storyline. So now there has to be an entire excuse as to what Dark Aether portal opened up that allowed a ship from a completely different era to come into Verdansk with zombies that are somehow not falling over because they're not near a Dark Aether power source anymore. So it's just like, they're just fucking the story.
So the Dark Aether, the Dark Aether zombies need to be near a Dark Aether power source in order to survive.
Yeah, like the Dark Aether crystals. They have to be within like a certain range of those. I'm pretty sure. I could be wrong about that, but from my zombies knowledge, that is
that. Honestly. They could also say, oh, there's a giant aether crystal inside the ship or something. And they could probably say that and just be like, oh, well...
Maybe.
But then again, that also wouldn't make sense.
Yeah. Some people's theories is that when you shot the missiles into the Pacific Ocean, that it turned a ship into zombies, and then it came to Verdansk, and it's just like...
Wasn't Verdansk nuked twice?
I don't even know at this point.
No. It was almost nuked once, and then it was nuked twice. And it was almost almost nuked once, and actually nuked one.
Yeah.
Wasn't Stadium nuked?
I have no clue.
It was bombed. I don't think it was nuked.
I don't know. That's weird.
Like I said, the story is just. It's all over the place. Like, why do people care about Verdansk? Like, Verdansk. I don't know how you say it. Like, it's just... It's one area. Who gives a shit? Just shut it down and move on. Like, the
quarantine
is so forced.
That bitch and nuke it.
Well, the story did that, is just so forced for that area. Like, why do people keep returning to it? Why are people freaking jumping out of planes to land into the, like, I don't know.
I mean, in a way, that's kind of like, why does Batman operate in Gotham? That's, in a way, kind of what you're asked. But not,
well,
like,
that
you
makes
know.
Sense. It's his home city and stuff, and there's crime and whatnot there. And then for, like, Apex, it makes sense because you have the,
It's like kind of like where the legends come from.
I would say it's like an entire mafia that owns the Apex games.
Fuck, I forgot the name of the. I know what group you're talking about. I don't remember the name of the.
But yeah, they just like that actually makes sense. This is just it's just weird. Like it's all over the place. And then they're honestly starting to become like Fortnite, where they're adding any content where they can to try and grow or keep their fan base. And I realize that people in Warzone cringe over the fact that Fortnite exists, and I realize that people in Fortnite cringe over the fact that Warzone exists, but
there's so much stuff. There's so much stuff in both games that are too similar to each other.
It's the marketing
that is really
similar to
each other. They're is basically the same two game, like both of the games are the same game, but with a different, somewhat different mechanics and different animation.
It's
basically what it is at this point.
Basically, Warzone is a 30-year-old video game player version of Fortnite. Like,
minus...
you have the kids' TV show, and then you have the adult TV show, and that is...
So it's like Teen Titans from the early 2000s versus Teen Titans Go.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
that show still makes me mad. I'm not gonna lie.
So, and then you have Zombies as well, which Zombies is just overall lacking. Because, like I said, Zombies, the main pool is that it's a new story. So that's the main pool for it. And it is getting interesting, but everything is interesting in terms of the intel. It's not even in terms of the actual cutscenes. Because everyone has started cracking jokes at this point where they're like, oh, let me guess, we're going to exfil now? And so that's just... that's become a big thing until Raptor 1 got
you dropped. You drop one of those jokes, too, whenever we did the... that one Easter egg that I lagged out of.
The Firebase ZS Easter egg?
No, not the Firebase ZS. Yeah!
The
Firebase
ZS Easter egg?
Yeah. Like, the one they had, like, the giant,
Tempest.
Giant Tempest, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, halfway through that, you made the joke, oh, what, are we gonna get exfil now or something?
I'll say, D-Machine, run to exfil. Firebase Z, kill Orta, drive to exfil. Outbreak, exfil comes and picks you up after you kill the boss. Other Outbreak Easter egg, you go to exfil, except for this time you get shot out of the sky, which is the only difference. Like,
time to walk home.
there's a lot that's just missing, like, from everything. Like, there's so much more that they can do to make it interesting, and they don't.
And the Easter eggs in general just aren't entertaining to play. They're so easy.
Yeah,
there's no challenge to them.
The Easter eggs are super easy. There's less content per map, because you... like, if you look at Black Ops 4, let's look at Blood of the Dead, Bryce. Alright, I know you don't like the map, but let's look at the map. So... you can get Hell's Retriever, which then you can get Hell's Redeemer, and then using Hell's Retriever or Hell's Redeemer, you can get the Silver Spoon, which you can turn into the Golden Spork, which then you could turn into the Golden Spork Knife, and then you also have the Blundergat that you can get, which you can turn into the Magma Gat or the Acid Gat, and then you have all this different intel that you can find around the map. And this is in an entire purgatory of Alcatraz, And it's just like, it's...
Wait, you even have the shield and the upgraded shield.
Hey,
yeah, the shield and the upgraded shield.
Hey, if you guys ever come down here to California, we need to go recreate Mob of the Dead or Blood of the Dead at Alcatraz.
No. but like, they have actual references to real-life Alcatraz inside of Blood of the Dead.
No, I haven't been on Alcatraz Island, but I know for a fact that, like, the outside of it matches whatever's on the, like whatever, English. I know for a fact that the outside of real-life Alcatraz matches with in-game outside of, like, if you, like, you know what I mean.
Yeah. It does.
I haven't been on the island, but I want to. My mom refuses to let me go because Ghostbusters, I don't know.
But even Blood of the Dead, part of the Easter egg, there's like a spirit that helps you or whatever. Yeah. If you actually look into it, that spirit is Al Capone. That's Al Capone's spirit.
That's
so it has
cool.
like that direct tie-in.
I would say the spirits that help you out during it are the Mob of the Dead crew.
Yeah, those spirits that help you in another part are from the Mob of the Dead crew, which was BO2, or BO1, yep. One of them.
And so it's just like, too. It's so interesting. Like, sure, the Easter eggs were really hard in the past, and I think people were looking forward to easier Easter eggs, but this is just, like, too far. Like,
I feel like
so
Black Ops 4 was a good in-between.
Black Ops 4, Blood of the Dead Easter egg is actually pretty tedious. I don't know about the other ones, but...
They're tedious, but they're a lot easier than, like, Black Ops 3 and 2 and stuff.
That's also because the gameplay itself is easier, because the mechanics are a bit cleaner, but yeah.
I haven't really done very many of the Black Ops 1, 2, or 3 Easter eggs. Well, we've done... Bryce and I have done one of them together for Black Ops. And I haven't really done much else in the way of Easter eggs in that game. In those games?
I've just seen
but it.
I think the only ones I've completed are 9 and then the Cold War Easter eggs. I think that's it.
I've done.
I remember vividly doing the Mob of the Dead Easter.
I've never even played.
No, not Mob of the Dead. Origins, sorry.
I know you told me that you did Origins. But yeah, it's just
yeah,
like...
I vividly remember doing it.
So I explained everything in Blood of the Dead, right? So let's look at probably one of the most content-heavy maps in Zombies, in Cold War. And I guess you have Outbreak because you have 6 maps, all of which have a bunch of intel on it, and then you have 2 Outbreak Easter eggs. But let's look at the round base. So you have D Machine versus you have D Machine and you have Firebase. D Machine, you can get a free jug, and then main Easter egg. That's pretty much. I mean, I guess you have the Wonder Weapon as well, but that's part of the main Easter egg. And then Firebase Z, you have main Easter egg, which once again includes the Wonder Weapon, a random perk, which isn't even a random perk power up. So you might even get a perk that you already have, which is stupid, and you get a free jug. That's it. That's all there is. And then both those maps, you have intel, and then intel that you can't necessarily pick up. That's it. Like they're missing so much that previous maps have had. It's crazy. The one cool thing is that D Machine has Nocturne Totem in it, and then a lot of people are speculating that Berlin will have Kinodir Totem in it, and possibly Verrucht. Alright, so next thing to talk about is, and like I said, we're doing a separate Zombies podcast, so we'll talk about all of this next week, and more.
I need to write down them. or I can show it to you later, like show you what I'm trying to talk about.
Okay, so next thing we're talking about is optimization, which is also the last thing I want to talk about, because it's not really an in-game thing; it's an outside of the game thing and inside. I don't know, but recently, the Call of Duty games have been pretty unoptimized. Modern Warfare combined with
Warzone. Modern Warfare is a really no. Modern Warfare on its own is like almost 300 megabytes. I'm pretty sure.
You mean gigabytes?
It's more than 300 megabytes.
Whatever.
It's not right now.
It's one of the
two. I'm going to say the numbers right now. So Modern Warfare combined with Warzone used to be about 180 gigabytes. It was almost 200 gigabytes. But luckily, they have now optimized it down to about 110 gigabytes, which is still crazy.
Because they split the game into two different downloads, but...
No, Warzone is Modern Warfare.
Oh, they've done that now? I didn't even know they did that.
And then the DLC, there's... What Xbox at least calls DLC packs is actually Modern Warfare.
Gotcha.
So, like, the multiplayer packs and stuff like that. So if you just delete the multiplayer packs and, like, the special ops packs, you're just left with Warzone.
Gotcha.
No, because that was going to be the point that I was going to bring up, because I tried... Because this happened, like, a few months ago. I tried re-downloading Modern Warfare. And I had all of the packs and all that I had downloaded previously from the last time I played it. And then there was, like, six more patches that they added on.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's and all it's just like, warfare. Why in the world?
Like I said, they kept moving Warzone around and messing with the downloads and stuff like that, and it caused people a lot of frustration, especially Bryce, since he had to, like, go back and reinstall stuff, like, five times, because they just, the next week, it was just, Warzone was somewhere else. So... But yeah, so then if we look at Cold War. Cold War currently is about 125 gigabytes. And like we're talking about a Call of Duty game, which is not that big. It is not that content heavy where it needs to be 125 gigabytes. Warframe, which includes an entire solar system to explore, is less than 125 gigabytes.
It's Destiny 2, where... You know, you don't have an entire solar system. You get a lot of areas to explore, plus Crucible and Gambit and all that. And with everything new that they're adding. And that's still, like, maybe 100?
Yeah, it's crazy, because...
Base game is, like, 72 gigabytes.
If you break down the Cold War multiplayer maps, you have 25 multiplayer maps, right? Which is quite a bit. Six of them are 2v2 gunfight. A few of them are basically the same thing, like Miami and Miami Strike, and then, like, half of them are remakes. And I do actually really like the map selection for the most part. Like, I feel like custom games, you have a lot of good maps to choose from. But, yeah, those are the maps for that. So, not many, but I guess, like, a decent amount. But for Zombies maps, we have two round-based maps. And then we have Outbreak, which has six. Five of which are just reused from Fireteam. So I guess there's actually 30 maps in multiplayer. I don't think I counted the Fireteam maps. And I think Zoo is just Outbreak right now. And then weapons, you have three Wonder Weapons currently. You have the Ray Gun. You have the you have the D Shockwave, or the... Hey, what's the base version of the weapon called? I don't remember.
Die Shockwave, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, it is the Die Shockwave?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because then it's Dielectric Bolt when you have it.
Upgraded. Oh, yeah, that's right. I was thinking that was electricity for some reason. And then you have 49 weapons, which is including the DLC weapons. And there is very small campaign with no extra content besides some calling cards for it.
It was a very, like... I did, like, the first mission of it, stopped playing it for about a month, got back to it, and I completed it with, like, 2 hours later, 2 or 3 hours later.
Yeah, it's considered, like, a 3 or 4 hour campaign, which is extremely short. And there's nothing except for calling cards that you can get for it.
There's an entire thing where you have to, like, decrypt a floppy disk, and that's just, that's a whole...
Yeah, there's a couple different things.
It's complex, but it's super short. Like, I just skipped over, and I know.
I say there's a couple interesting things in the campaign, but it's eh.
It's just kind of stuff that if you
and then for
paid attention well enough
for multiplayer and for zombies, you have the camos that lead up to Dark Aether, or I don't remember what they Dark Matter or something.
Dark Matter Ultra.
That's it, in multiplayer. And then calling cards once again. And then you do have a shit ton of attachments for every weapon, though. That is, like, the main thing about about the weapons, though. But now let's look at Black Ops 3. This is just under 150 gigabytes, which, yes, that is more than Cold War, but this is also with all of the DLCs equipped onto it. So the base game is 70 gigabytes. Zombies Chronicles is 20 gigabytes. Multiplayer maps. There are 31 multiplayer maps. In the base game, there are 13. There are 18 DLC maps. There are tons of hidden Easter eggs throughout all the maps. The custom games is amazing. You have so many options of what you can do. You can even have Codcaster settings on there. And there's also the theater mode, which is an awesome feature that they only have in some Call of Duty games. There are 14 zombie maps. The base game, there is only one. And then for DLC, there are 13, and that includes the Zombie Chronicles. And then there are 82 weapons in Black Ops 3. There are 31...
There's 82?
There's 82. Yep. You have 31 base weapons, you have 51 DLC, and of the 51 DLC, 20 of them are melee. And there are a huge amount of camos, calling cards, and specialist outfits that you can earn by doing challenges. Camos and calling cards for campaign, multiplayer, and zombies, so not just multiplayer and zombies. For campaign, the campaign has a much longer campaign. There are 3 ability sets, an entire training program, challenges, outfits, medals, and an entire version of the campaign where you fight zombies instead. And then you even have an extra mode, which has training areas for you to practice shooting and wall running and jumping and whatnot with the booster pack.
Parkour or whatever.
And then you also have Dead Ops Arcade. So you have all of this content. And there's also Dead Ops Arcade and Cold War. I don't think I listed that. But there's all of that content in Black Ops 3, and it's only 25 gigabytes more. If you compare the two amounts of content, sure, Black Ops 3 doesn't have as good as graphics. Doesn't matter, really. No, because you can optimize graphics fine. The graphics don't take up much. Like, there is so much in Black Ops 3, and it's only 25 gigabytes more. And the base game is only 70 gigabytes. So that means if you compare just the base game and the base game for Cold War, there is a 55 gigabyte difference. So that's just because you have the entire hideout system as well, which you can do like training and you can put on different outfits. You can choose different missions. Each mission has like several challenges that you can do, and there's just so much more content. There's so much meat to its bones that Cold War doesn't have. So, but that's pretty much my last really big point, is just they need to focus on optimization instead of getting content out. Because Bryce, what are the sizes of the updates that you have to do?
So the Season 4 update for Cold War, I did it the other day. The update itself was like 30 gigabytes, supposedly, where it only took up 30 gigabytes on your machine. But you had to download 120 gigabytes, which is basically the size of the game.
Wasn't it doing something similar to like allocating disk space on that PC that some PC games do?
Yeah, basically it was copying files and stuff, and that's why it took so much extra, because it was copying files so it could delete them and replace them without issue. But it's like, so basically you're having to download the game a second time just to update it.
Yep. So, that's fun. And Bryce has to go somewhere else. Like, Bryce can't just like update it at home whenever he wants to. Like, he has to get you have to go somewhere to get stuff updated.
Yeah. So I only have a limited amount of internet each month, so to update games, I can't do 120 gigabytes at my house.
It's just... it's crazy. Because there's not even, like, there's not even that much. Like, I'm sure that some of it might include stuff for Mauritor Toten and Intel for, basically stuff for Season 4 Reloaded, but that itself is also going to be a separate update that you're going to have to download. Which is insane. But yeah, a couple last small points I have to make before we end this is that Activision has been having trouble ever since Warzone came out with deadlines for both Warzone and the Call of Duty games. And Modern Warfare, I kind of understand this because Warzone is Modern Warfare's baby. So because Modern Warfare didn't get like any decent updates after the release of Warzone, which means people who didn't like Warzone and continue to play Modern Warfare basically didn't get anything new after playing it for about 5 months. So that's fun. But yeah, so those are all the reasons as to why Warzone is ruining Call of Duty. We've got the story, which combining it inside of Warzone is just the biggest mistake that you can make. You have optimization, which has been insane because Activision is more focused on getting out content and marketing than they are worried about actually improving the games. Which includes the Cold War integration with Warzone, where that made Warzone, and I'm pretty sure that's when Warzone was almost 200 gigabytes. When the Cold War integration came in. And then Black Ops Cold War has been just completely lackluster, and it's all going to shit. So we'll have to see how Vanguard plays out. Because if Vanguard is also bad, then that just proves my point further.
Especially since they're planning on doing integration with Vanguard into Warzone again, too.
Yep.
They've gone so far as even Vanguard is being created on the Modern Warfare engine, so they have an easier time transitioning it.
Yep. It's insane. Everything is revolving around Warzone when it really shouldn't be. Warzone should be its own entity, and the Cold War should be its own entity. Modern Warfare should be its own entity. Or at least make it like Blackout, where Modern Warfare and Warzone are exclusive, which a lot of people actually preferred when, especially after the Cold War integration came out and it was a shit show. So, yay. So that was the Warzone episode. Look forward to 3 more bashings over this month. This episode
sounds really bad.
I live streamed this episode for those who are listening. So for those who might be watching this on stream or as a VOD later on, this episode is going to release this coming Monday. And then every Monday from there is going to be a new podcast episode as well. I'm going to try to upload this onto YouTube, but I can't guarantee anything. But yeah, so look forward to next week, which is going to be us doing specifically zombie stuff. We're going to be talking specifically about zombies. We did cover a lot of it today, but not everything that I wanted to talk about. And then the week after that will either be Destiny 2 or Siege. And then the week after that will be the whichever one is left. And then we'll go from there. But
should we try to knock out all 3 when I'm up there?
Yep, that's what we're going to try to do.
We're going to literally sit down one day on the couches behind him and just record.
Yep.
All right. But bring me some snackies.
But yeah, so hope you guys look forward to that. But besides that, game on.
Find AFCast on Instagram and Twitter at AF Community for any updates on future podcast episodes. If you want to join the community Discord, find the link in the description or on the website, afcommunity.com. Special thanks to DJ Augie for making the music for this podcast.